Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Child Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my
do it for you.
Jesus.
Oh, I'm not
not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. And I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sing another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. And I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence, and I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. And more than anything that you can do, I just want you. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else. Nothing else.
Reminded right now how the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things shall be added unto you. And I want you to know that countless times throughout the Word of God, when people came seeking the Lord, and the first time they got into His presence and met with Him face to face, immediately things would happen in their life. And I just want to remind you that when you seek the Lord and you read the scriptures and you pray and you use your faith and you make an effort on a daily basis to have a relationship with the Lord, you will see His impact on your life. You'll see it on the day-to-day things that are going on, but you'll also see it in the long term. And so just know that just like this morning, I'm telling you, the presence of God is here, and he's with you, and he wants you to experience him. And, you know, even when we were worshiping, I could just feel God lifting things off of people. I could feel God bringing peace where there had been stress and worry. And I'm telling you that the Lord is just strengthening us this morning, and we just need to keep our heart open and trust that God has what we can't see. Amen? You know, it's interesting because sometimes the circumstances of life are going to get bigger than who we are in terms of the fact that most of us like to be in control. Amen? We like to have everything just where we want it and just how we want it. And there's times where things are going to get out of your control. You just cannot control them. And it's important for us to know that that's when we really need to lean in and trust God and make sure we're making room for what he will do, because he will do it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
He's
Hallelujah.
So good.
Yes, he is.
He's so
all
good.
The time. Praise God.
Amen. I think of back on our life, and I'm like a, what do you call that thing? That it's not a movie, but like a flip thingy of our life and where we started.
A slideshow?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
See, that's why they're my family. They know what I'm thinking, and I don't. I can't think of
Hallelujah.
Words.
Hallelujah. Amen.
But and I just see the goodness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some hard times.
Amen.
Some hard, hurtful, broken times. Mm-hmm. And I see how he's taken all of it.
Amen.
And he's healed, and he's made new, and he's restored, and he's just so good.
Amen.
He's
Praise
just
God.
So good. And Sarah, Miss Sarah, yesterday the word you brought to the women's
Ooh, amen.
Breakfast
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Was so good.
Praise the Lord.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
The gist of it, which, but it was way more than what I'm telling you. It was really, really good. But it was watching how you speak. Mm-hmm. Your words have the power of life and death in them.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for you,
Amen.
But for others as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not only what you say, mm-hmm. but it's how you say.
Amen.
And we just need to be conscious all the time
Amen.
Of how we're talking to people. Even when they're upset with us, doesn't matter. It doesn't give us a right to yell and scream back, right? Because
mm-hmm.
we never know what's going on in anybody's life unless they've
Amen.
Told us. We don't know what struggles they're facing. We don't know what their day-to-day life has been like the last few days. You could be talking to somebody whose parent is home, sick, ready to die, but they ain't telling mm-hmm. you because you're not close, but you don't know that, but they're really heavy. And that could be why they're heavy. You know,
mm-hmm.
we just never know. So we just talked about, even when you're on the phone.
Praise the Lord.
And you call people for, like, health reasons or you doctor things or credit card companies. You got to be nice. You got to be nice, even if they're not. And when they're calling you and you're the other side and you're the one receiving the doctor's, questions, you got to be nice, even if
Amen.
They're not nice. We discussed all this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really slapping two people in this room, and it's me. And me. Listen, you get caught up in your daily work, right? Do you not? And you get frustrated about things. And I'm talking to this credit card company who has shut every single of
Ooh.
Their cards down for our 5 or 6 staff members who has it. And it's right before Easter. The worst time to shut it down, right? Because they're trying to get everything that they need for that weekend. And I'm just talking to them, and she's like, well, before I can talk to you about this, I'm going to have to call. Now, mind you, she's already asked for our address, our name of the business, like the security questions. She's already asked that. And she says, I'm going to have to call there and verify that I'm talking to you.
Ooh. Ooh.
Help me, Jesus. She said, is somebody there that I can call? And I said, you're talking to me. But I have to call there. And sure enough, our phones weren't working right. So I'm
Hallelujah.
Like, okay, stop.
You mean that you're talking to me on the phone right now? I've given you all the security answers that you need, and you won't talk to me to turn them back on so that our people are ready for Easter until you call back. She said, stop yelling at me. Let me tell you, I have been repenting. Not like I could have said it in a different way. It was truth. What I was saying was just, it was the process was ignorant. It was. But I was obviously hyped up a little bit with the way I was talking to her and wasn't even realizing I was that elevated until she said, stop yelling at me.
Hallelujah.
So I had to repent. And we have to remember that at all
times. You should have told her to call me. Because I know how to handle.
She wasn't looking to call you. She's looking to call the office and have somebody answer the phone and say, oh, yeah, you're talking to Regina. So funny. But anyway.
I could have helped her with the.
Off of my soapbox. I could really get mad about that all over again. I feel the anger rising up about the stupid situation. But I still feel the horribleness of how I talked to her.
That's hilarious.
And I repented. Aww. And I had to call them again because a week later they turned us off again. And I was very kind.
You were very nice the next
time. Extra kind.
Amen.
Yeah, because they record those. So if I thought they recorded that when they've heard me being nasty, then they'll say, oh, she came back to her senses on this one. No, but
God.
We really had a great time, but it was a great word.
Amen.
A great reminder of what we need to be doing. Compassion, having compassion for people too. I mean, and love is amazing. So if you're not coming to these, I'm encouraging you to come to them if you can. I'm telling you, it's to hear the word that's brought forth. Mm-hmm. And I think the next one is Miss Katrina. Yes, Miss Katrina is next month. And then to have the ladies discuss their examples, their thoughts. There was one lady there that was thinking in her head, where's that one scripture, Lord? That one scripture that talks about this? And the person next to her said, can I say something? We said, sure. She said the very scripture that this other lady was saying in her head. I want to, when we get out to the car, I'm going to look up that scripture. Hmm. Listen, God knows about everything. He wants you there.
He does.
He wants you to come, be healed. See that everybody's got flaws. Right? We're so hard on ourselves. Everybody, we talked about them. I just told you mine. I won't do it again, though.
Amen. With the help of Jesus.
Huh? Amen. But it shows the realness of who we are, but how God can help us to be better. Amen?
Amen.
And just coming in with each of the ladies and hearing their perspective and how God's speaking to them and the way he tells them, it broadens our understanding of who God is. Amen? So if you can make it, come. They're at the first Saturday of every month at 9 o'clock right here at the church, except for July because it's a holiday weekend.
Amen.
And if we have a holiday weekend, we won't have the women's breakfast. So.
Amen.
I think we do have a meeting today for anybody helping with the solar eclipse tomorrow.
Yes.
It's like so weird because you don't like know who's going to show up, how many is going to show up, what's going to happen. So we're just going to play in and be ready. So it's going to be right after church. We'll have that meeting, okay?
Yeah, for the solar eclipse, it's going to be exciting, I guess. I don't know. But anyhow, I do know this. I went to the store on, I think, Friday. And, man, I ran into people from Arizona, from Florida. So, I mean, it'd be hard to get me to drive an hour or two to see the eclipse, but I guess there's really an investment in this thing. So we'll be available as we can to help out here. And what we're going to do is we're going to let people park out here. We are going to have a prayer tent, and we are going to have some handout stuff for people and just see if there's anybody that we can pray for while they're out here waiting for this big eclipse. And so that will just be a blessing of the Lord, I am believing. So it will be awesome, I think. So, all right, if there's any kids left, we're going to let them go, and we're going to let the teens go, praise God, to their class this morning. And what we're going to do is just take a couple moments to be able to have a time of giving an offering. And I want you to know that in Malachi chapter 3, it says in verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, in the New Testament, it also says that when we give, we ought to be a cheerful giver. And what the Lord really wants is for you to develop your faith in the area of giving. And your giving ought to be faith-based, biblical, and scriptural giving that God gives us guidelines for your relationship with Him. And He says to you that He will prove Himself and how faithful He is in touching your life and rebuking the devourer and protecting what you have. You know, I always like to reference the fact that the ladies probably don't like this scripture, but it says that way back in the day when the Lord was bringing the people out of Egypt, He was so faithful to them that in the 40 years that they spent out in the desert, that their shoes never wore out. My goodness. I don't know if that's popular today, because I know my wife likes to get shoes and purses every now and then, but hallelujah. And to this day, I don't know one pair that's ever wore out. I don't know a purse that you ever replaced because it had a hole in it or it would no longer carry anything. But I'm just saying. I'm just saying. But anyhow, all I want you to know is that the Lord promises to help your life spiritually and naturally. You know, the Bible says that when you give things in the natural, whether you're giving out of kindness to people, even outside the church, I'm talking to the poor, the man on the street, the neighbor, the friend, the family member, whoever it is that you help out, or if you give within the house of God, I want you to know that the Lord says that you're laying up treasures in heaven, amen? So your faith here on the earth is honored by God in heaven. You know, the Bible even says that if you give a cup of water in the name of the Lord, He takes note of it. He takes note of that kindness, and there's a reward for you in heaven because of what you do. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, this morning we just want to honor you in the area of tithing and giving, God. And Lord, we just want to release our faith, worshiping you and honoring you and putting you first and letting you know that we don't just trust in our jobs, and we don't trust in this world system. What we trust in is you and your faithfulness, Father. You've been saying your word that the diligent shall prosper, and that when we work, we're not just working in a natural way, but we work as unto the Lord, giving our best efforts, respecting, loving, being kind in the middle of what we do. And Lord, we just thank you for your blessing upon our lives and your hand upon your people. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to look at the Word of God, and we are still, even though Resurrection Sunday, even though Resurrection Sunday was last week, we know that the impact of Jesus' resurrection went well beyond that, and is still effective today. Amen? So what we're going to do is today we're going to just look a little bit after the resurrection, and I just want to stay in there just for a little bit, because I want you to know that there were some things that were just accomplished immediately by what Jesus did, and then we're going to carry that forward to talk about the fact that the Lord was on the earth after the resurrection for 40 days. And I like to bring up the fact that, hey, we celebrate the resurrection, and I'm thankful for that, but I want you to know that even before Jesus went to heaven permanently, he spent 40 additional days on the earth after he's resurrected from the grave. And we're going to walk through some of that today to let you know why that is important for your life right now and your life today. Amen? But we're first going to look at the fact that Jesus was on the cross and he's already up there. He's got nails in his hands. He's got nails in his feet, the crown on his head, and he's going through that battle and he's going through that struggle. And we're going to look at the closing moments of Jesus' life on the cross, and then we're going to see something profoundly significant that happens pretty much immediately after he gives his last breath. So we're going to look at this in the book of Matthew today. In Matthew chapter 27, it says in verse 45, "Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' or whatever that is. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" In other words, Jesus was really feeling alone in these final minutes before he left this earth. "Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, 'Hey, he's calling for Elijah,'" who is a great prophet. "And straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink." Yuck. "The rest said, 'Let it be. Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him.' Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." In other words, his last breath left him and he died. "And behind the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent." Now this is the part I want to get to. "And the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many." Now, before we go any farther, man, I want to bring up the fact that isn't that amazing? I'm limited today. I can't move too much today. I got to kind of stay up here by where I'm preaching. So, but if, because I want to come down and walk around right now. But here's what I want you to know, is that what is amazing is that we see here that the moment the Lord left his body on this side of the earth, immediately his work was done. Because what this scripture represents to us, when those saints came up and started walking on the earth, they were doing that walk before they were making their ascension to heaven. Because before the blood of Jesus was poured out on the earth, even those people in the Old Testament who were saved and loved the Lord went to a place that they refer to as paradise, and they were held there because until the blood came, we could not transition to heaven. And it's amazing because immediately we start to read in the New Testament after the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John part of the Bible, and we start